Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Say, my name is daughter.
My name is daughter of Israel.
Be loud, Maria. My name is daughter.
My name is daughter of Israel.
Abel. Maria Adiah Hawkins.
Maria Adiah Hawkins.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve you as a priest starting very soon.
Say, please.
Please find your seat for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Israel Abel Sariah Hawkins, and I want to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. It is an honor and privilege to introduce you to the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now turn it over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.
If you'll remain standing as we'll turn the services over to the holy women of Nu, the great queens of the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please pay close attention to this whole service. There's going to be tons of knowledge and understanding that will be coming to you. This can only be achieved from this service at the house of Yahweh. Prophecy, laws of health, and Yematria all added up to one fantastic lesson. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the first teacher.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay. I'm going to be continuing on with what I had spoke on yesterday. And I'm going to be going into more detail so that people can understand what's going on. If I could have my first slide, please. Just as a review, I wanted to show you the first slide, which is that timeline from the House of Yahweh calendar 2017. And it shows that the peace treaty was signed in 9/13/1993 and was in effect on 10/13/1993. These dates are very, very important to this prophecy in these last days. Now, Yekezkiah's prophesied temple patent, this was filed on 11/22/1993, and it was granted on 8/1/1995. Now, these dates are very, very important because it puts into perspective the prophecies that are being fulfilled in these last days. Now, the last one is the Vatican Accord, and this is the accord that the Vatican had established with Israel. It was finalized on 12/1993, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Now, another thing that I wanted to go over, if I could have my next slide. Now, I focus on the date 11/22/1993 because that 11/22 is very important. It comes from, in the Hebrew, it means to build, to establish, to construct. And of course, what comes to mind is the house of Yahweh being rebuilt, being established in these last days by our overseer, who was anointed and directed by Yahweh through Yeshua to fulfill this prophecy. And he did in 1982. It was fulfilled. Now, in the Greek, 11/22 means a writer. Again, I went over it yesterday, a scribe. The plural means scriptures. The book of Yahweh was written by the one anointed by Yahweh, which is Israel Hawkins in these last days. He brought it back to perfection. And he's still working on it, so we have to pay diligent attention to what he says. And it means a verb, especially to write, or written. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. I had given a title yesterday of Let Us Be Like the First Beast. And I had put several versions of this phrase into the Yematria. And the first one that comes up is Like the First Beast. And I want you to focus on number 1133. It's in the Hebrew. It comes from 1121 and it says son of might. It's an Israelite. But if you go to 1121, it comes from 1129 as a builder of the family name, a nation, the anointed one, very fruitful, worthy. This Yemetria ties directly back to the Yeketzkiah temple prophecy being fulfilled, that 1129, which talks about the builder of the family, that ties right into that prophecy of the temple. Now, you're wondering, the next scripture that I had was, it says, let us be, like the first beast. This is the Yemetria also, and it's from the Hebrew, and it means to seize. It means to the idea of holding in possession, to be affrighted, to take hold, take possession. Let us be like the first beast, the first beast in Revelation. Okay, that brings to mind the Catholic Church. What is the Catholic Church taking hold of right now? It's taking hold of the whole world by deception. Okay, now if I could have my next slide. Okay, which is like the first beast. Okay, again, this is 1134 from the Hebrew. Now this gets into the description of what the Catholic Church is, as the overseer brought out. It was devised by the Roman army. This one is, it's an army, a band of men, soldiers, power, riches, and to writhe in pain. Now, what I'm going to go into right now is I'm going to go into that concordant. We say, well, what does that have to do with the prophecy of the temple? The Vatican Accord, which was signed by Israel and the Vatican, was actually signed through the Holy See. The Holy See is the legal governmental body of the Catholic Church. And the fundamental agreement was started on July 15th, 1992, between Israel and the Holy See. And it was to establish a bilateral permanent working commission. And what it was the Deputy Foreign Minister, Dr. Yossi Beilin. It's spelled B-E-I-L-I-N. That name is important because that is the same person who worked in Israel in Oslo, on the seven-year peace agreement. That's the hidden agenda of the Vatican Church, being within the seven-year agreement. Now, I want to give you a understanding of an accord. And a concordant is a document, a legal document between the Vatican and any country. Once it is in place, a concordant cannot be removed. It is forever. Laws can be changed by parliament, but the concordants cannot. That is a forever legal document. Concordance can ensure a never-ending transfer of state funds to the Catholic Church. Now, this concordant is in the same time period as the seven-year peace plan. As we know, the Jerusalem Embassy Act was fulfilled last year when the waiver was, the last waiver was signed by President Trump, and it expired on June 9, 2019, which brings us in to these last days. Now, I want you to pay attention to everything that's coming out because it's for our benefit. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. So, a couple of Sabbaths ago, the overseer was talking about authority, and he said that it meant increase. And he also said concerning Genesis 1:26 that Yahweh will give this increase to us if we will not turn to the gods, if we will not turn to the sick world as we had yesterday. And by being called out to the house of Yahweh, he also said that we have that authority, and it's our choice to maintain, whether to maintain it or to let it go. And if we let it go, it's unretrievable. We know that, right? So he also said that this authority given is written and will only be given to those who are written. Now, we know that pastor, the overseer of the house of Yahweh, the seventh Malach, the seventh trumpeter, Zerubbabel, the greatest teacher in the world, is written, right, in prophecies. So he has this authority. And so for my first year metria, I have it is written. And we're very familiar with that. 996 is the day when pastor lifted his both hands towards heaven and the release of the quartet, right? So the first number, 166, in the Hebrew, it means to be clear. If you turn over to Isaiah 55 in your book of Yahweh, it's found on page 569. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, "For as the rain comes down like the snow from the sky and does not return there until it has watered the earth to make it bring forth and bud, and that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word, the law and the prophets, that goes forth from my mouth. My word will not return to me void, without producing effect, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So we know the words of Yahweh, they are clear. The prophecies must come to pass. The second number, the same number in the Greek, it means perpetual, eternal, forever, everlasting, world began, as in since the world began, and it's from 165 in the Greek, which means perpetuity without end. Now, we know that once it's written, it's binding forever. Now, 996 in the Hebrew means to separate mentally or distinguish. That is generally understand. And we know that the overseer is the one who has been given understanding. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 11, it's found on page 537. Isaiah 11, verse 3 says, "Which will make him of quick understanding, and his delight will be in the reverence of Yahweh. He will not judge after the sight of his sight, nor will he reprove after the hearing of his ear." So, pastor is given understanding. 996 in the Greek, it means aid, specifically of rope or chain. For frapping a vessel, it also means help. Now, I checked that word frapping. I wasn't sure what it meant. And it says to bind or wrap tightly with rope or chain. Do you remember that song, "We are the colts of the donkey colts? We are the colts of the donkey tethered to the choices," Branch Israel Hawkins? Pastor is binding us tightly to Yahweh through Yahweh's laws. We know that peaceful solution is the unfolding of Yahweh's laws, and it converts us as it changes our hearts and minds. And also for the word vessel, we know that in 2 Timaeus chapter 2, verse 20-21, it talks about that we are the vessels in the house of Yahweh. We are vessels. The next number. Okay, it comes from 998 in the Greek, which means Sakara. I hope I'm pronouncing that well, which means a person who gives help in times of need or distress or difficulty. Now, we know that pastor is doing that. He is giving help to all the people in the world, us who are here and those who are listening who are still out there, by teaching us Yahweh's way. Isn't that what a great friend is? Who will always stand with you in times of trouble as well as in times of joy? Praise Yahweh. And it comes from 995 and 994, which means to cry. In Isaiah 58, chapter 1, if you turn there, Isaiah 58, 1, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin." And that's what the overseer is doing, helping us to come to perfection. So remember, it is written, and we must follow what is written. Remember also what he said yesterday, "I am trying to get you to believe what is written." So keep that in mind and stand firm in the house of Yahweh, and let's back pastor up in bringing this work to completion. That I'll turn to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. That was a great, wonderful Feast of Pentecost yesterday, and a great Sabbath that we're in today. So we know that we're blessed from the house of Yahweh. Blessed from the house of Yahweh only. And Yahweh is teaching us. We have the greatest opportunity in this time period to be taught face-to-face by Yahweh through his last days witness, Israel Hawkins, who's inspired by Yahshua, our great high priest. And there's many examples in Scripture that are for our learning. And we want to go back to Yahweh's great prophet Samuel and everything that Pastor has taught us about him. So if we can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, that's on page 223. We're going to read verse 1. Okay? Then there was a certain, well, notice the date, Samuel, 1 Samuel, and it says 1171 BY. Okay? There was a certain man from Ramathaim, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And get that word, Ephraimite. And now with that, we're going to go to the seventh book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 4, verse 54. Pastor says, look over now to, let's see, go back to Samuel. He was talking about how Samuel was alive in 1171. To about 1056 BY, and then the Book of Rio was 1186. So you can see it's right after that era is where Samuel came along. But the work was already going and spreading out and so forth. And he talks about Samuel was being trained at Abilene and how it all fits, the salvation that's taken and what is taking place with us right now. It all ties into our time period. Now let's go to verse 56. 1 Samuel 1, verse 1. He says, there was a certain man from this place, the hill country of Ephraim. This hill country of Ephraim, now it's the same place I was telling you about, Shiloh and Abilene, the house of bread. The house of bread, do you remember? Don't forget that house of bread. There were several set up at that time. So in this sermon given on 127:07, Pastor talks about the Ephraimites, in this certain area, being righteous people who are training at Abilene. Now, we see in verse 2, Hannah, one of Elkanah's wives, and in the seventh book of Israel, part 2, chapter 5, on the sermon about the mother of Zebediah's sons, Pastor really talks about Hannah. He's comparing how both of these mothers wanted a family that was for Yahweh's use, and they both presented their sons to Yahweh before the priest. And they had a righteous desire to be part of Yahweh's work, something like how Rhea and Boaz did, to be part of Yahshua's bloodline, but also for an eternal part and position in Yahweh's kingdom. And like us, how we want to be forever in Yahweh's kingdom, training for those offices. And Hannah presented her son to the priest. And both of these women also knew some of the prophecies about Yahshua and Yahweh's last days witness, Israel Hawkins. Compare that with what our overseer recently brought out about Hannah, how she saw the evil that was taking place and creeping in, and how Eli's sons were evil, and without righteous priests and teachers, she understood that the people would fall into sin. Okay? So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. So after, you see right here, Samuel is born, and she said, because I asked Yahweh for him. Can we get our first number? Asked Yahweh for him, and you see 1074, pastor's number. Verse 22. This is kind of running through it. I encourage you to go back and read it on your own time. Hannah presented, she said, after the boy is weaned, I will take him to present him in front of Yahweh, and he will live there always. Remember that word weaned. It means weaned from the ways of the world, where he was able to distinguish between righteousness and evil and choose righteousness. Can we get our next number? 2022. She took him to the mountain of the house of Yahweh, kind of like Moshe. He was taught at the mountain of the house of Yahweh. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 10. You see there she mentions prophecies that concern Yahshua and Israel Hawkins. Verse 18. But Samuel ministered in front of Yahweh, a child wearing a linen ephod. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in honor with Yahweh and with men. Verse 19, his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him year after year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And verse 21, Yahweh was merciful to Hannah, and meanwhile the child Samuel grew up in the presence of Yahweh. Can we get our numbers? 1 Samuel chapter 2, the words, and the child Samuel, 1074. The next one, we have grew up in the presence of Yahweh, which is a really important one, 322. We'll talk about more about what the presence of Yahweh was that Pastor has mentioned in his sermons. Wearing a linen ephod, 1074, and Hannah made a robe for him. That has a 1074. So remember the presence of Yahweh, Pastor talked about it a little bit in the 7th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 19, and how this is where the priest would go and get information from Yahweh and see Yahweh face to face. And another day, Yahweh willing, we'll talk a little more about why that number 1074 is there and how Samuel ties in with Yisrael Hawkins and this work in these last days. And now if you all please stand and turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'm excited. We get to hear from Overseer this evening. That's exciting. Okay, that was a great surprise. I'm going to jump right in. So bringing back to remembrance the prophecies that are being fulfilled right now. So of course, like, we have our high priest over the house of Yahweh, and Yahweh has guided this entire plan. Jeremiah 11 verses 11 and 12, it shows, like, he's asking Jeremiah, he's like, what is it that you see? And he's all like, well, I see a branch from an almond tree. And he's all like, you have seen well, for I am guarding over my house. Since the beginning, the almond tree represents like the earliest of bloom. You have to go out early in order to see its blooms. So we know from John 1:1, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh. So what is this plan? It's bring out a kingdom of righteous priests, a family, you know, both men and women, and them guarding and keeping the children, right? So keeping that in mind, I want to go ahead and put up the first slide. And the first slide is who has authority. So if you notice that 2005, one, the Hebrew is lo, behold, automatically behold the man whose name is a branch. Greek 2005 means to complete and accomplish, and keep that in mind because he's bringing out this finishing of the kingdom of priests. So the 2005, the fifth book of Yisrael, everybody knows the fifth book of Yisrael is entitled Kingdom of Priests. Now, initially, when I had put that in, nothing really came out, but the sum total of the Yamatria for it came out to mean destroy. And I was like, okay, so it's Yada. You know, Yahweh offered them the opportunity to become a part of the kingdom of righteous priests, but instead they threw it away and they rejected Yahweh's laws. Now, when I put in kingdom of righteous priests, if we could show the next slide, notice it has 322. And that's the overseer's tag number on his van. In the Hebrew, it's from 268, which means time to come, you know, in the West, the latter days. And then 322 means to exhibit, to indicate a point, appointed for the last days. And get this, when you add all these numbers up, guess who's high priest over the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of righteous priest? Yahshua. And I thought it never ceases to amaze me how Yahweh already has all of these things tied in with Yahmatria. So I went over to the Kingdom of Priests book. So from the fifth book of Yisrael, chapter 2, verses 31, jot down for your notes, 48 and 49. If we could show the next one, if you want to read along with me, it says, it is necessity. He was speaking about the word must, which is found in Revelation 17. This word must means it is necessity, established by the counsel and decree of Yahweh, especially by that purpose of his which relates to the salvation of mankind. Get this, it's not only salvation of mankind as the word means, but it's also salvation of the universe, because the universe will change to the laws of Yahweh, because that was the purpose of all of this from the beginning. Remember the almond tree. The purpose is to form my great government with beings like Yahweh himself, who are perfect in the laws of righteousness and who will go out to teach after this is shown to the universe. We will have everything at our disposal to use. And if we could show the next one. Now listen. Everybody listening? All right. Now this is done to bring about the kingdom that Yahweh is establishing. If you will do these things, the laws of Yahweh, I will make you a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, and you will rule forever with me. Yahshua, the overseer in Yahweh. Now, sentence, and then he goes on to speak about the definition of sentence, also means the process of judgment leading to the decision. Try to imagine the council. Now, this had me thrown for a loop because overseers always spoke about this. It really put into perspective what was going on at that time, you know, before the foundations of the earth was laid. Try to imagine the council that went into this before Yahweh ever created the earth for man to be placed on. Imagine the great wisdom that took place and the council of great minds who actually helped to establish this and said, yes, we need a kingdom of priests. We need a kingdom of men and women who won't turn, who will be like Yahweh himself. Overseer says we're 99.9% there. When he spoke yesterday, he mentioned us being determined. You know, we have to keep layering, even if we fall, we have to still get back up. Be determined. Be completely determined to uphold Yeshua Hawkins and everything that's coming to pass, because everything that we're going to see come to pass is for our perfection, because these prophecies are being laid in our minds so that we can see the results of sin and so that we know for a fact that we will never turn from Yahweh's laws and be just like Yahweh himself. And with this, if you'd all please stand, I'll turn it over to the following speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Let's be seated in the great house of Yahweh. And today we're going to fly. So stay up with me. Let's get going. Let's do the Yematrias that we're going to rehearse. The way into the most holy place that came from Hebrews, directly out of Hebrews 9:8. And it shows the house of Yahweh, the promotion of the house of Yahweh in Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1-4. Keep going with the Yematria, and we'll see as we continue one right after another, the way into the most holy place. Pastor says it's sacred place. Continuing on, let's look at the next one as we lay that one right on top. The way into the most sacred place is only through our last day's anointed witness, showing the date that once again he offered salvation in these last days. And the next one, this book right here, we were going over this where the pen was developed, ballpoint pen, but it was written by Georgi Moldova. You can see he was born in 1934, the last generation, and he has pastor's tag number. The next one also shows pastor's tag number. That was David Robert Evans. He was a translator of this book. Let's see the next one. Yachanan Boris was the man that didn't want this book, and Yahweh gave it to me, and that shows 8/28, pastor's birthday. Continuing on, once again, rehearsing the Hungarian Laszlo. He was the one that developed the pen. That's his first name, 1074. And then a Hungarian Bureau, that's his last name, 828. And what do we have next? Then we have the pen developed, 1074. All pastors' tag number, pointing, proving. And then we also have a Dr. Ranke and Haju. They were the two that patented the first pen that didn't go through in 1934 in Hungary. And it also shows pastor's birth date. Now the next one, we see here that the pen written in Revelation 11:1 was written for our overseer in these last days. So now it was written in 11:1 saying, and there was given me a reed for writing, a pen, so that I could testify, write it down, that they have rejected righteous judgment and that they walk in the way. Now, with all these Yematria, it shows that pen was developed only for one purpose, for one man, prophesied in these last days to write and testify what he needs to write and testify. And at one point, someone said the book of Yahweh is our guide to life. But the books of Israel, what is written by our overseer, is the instructions to that guide. And I agree with that so much because it is his testimony given to him through our high priest, written for us so that we would know how to conduct ourselves in the great house of Yahweh. So continuing on now, this here is the book. Oh, not that one yet. This is the book, the ballpoint, where this is. Now, not only is all this information amazing that it points only to one man, but there's something else in this book, which I found so amazing. On page 5, it says, To the outsider, it may seem hardly credible that a country of 10 million people, Hungary, that was what we're talking about, the country of Hungary, could have given the world such an array of geniuses almost at once. Now listen to the names that are the men that they're talking about here. Leo Szilard, the inventor of the atom bomb for this generation. John Van Neumann, the inventor of the computer, 1934, for this generation. All of this is in this book pointing to one man, and that is our great overseer. And what's really amazing is that in Daniel chapter 12, all this is spoken of. Now, what's even so more amazing is all these men were of Hebrew origin. They were of Hebrew origin, and it was at Hitler's time when he was trying to kill off all the Hebrew people. These men had to flee for their life. Six men came to the United States to continue on with what they were prophesied to do. Satan must have thought she was going to stop the work of Yahweh, but in fact, by chasing them out of Europe, she helped prophecy to be fulfilled. That must irritate her so much. But anyway, they came and they were saved. But one thing I want to go over is that as I was reading this book, I was also reading the Lost Faith of the Apostles and Prophets book. In this book, you will see that the house of Yahweh and the righteous people of Yahweh have always been persecuted. The prophets had to hide and run, and many of them died horrific murders. The apostles were murdered and put in prison. But Daniel shows in Daniel 8:24 that they try to destroy the holiness of the people. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, it has Yeshua speaking to his disciples. And in verse 23 he says, "And when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For truly I say to you, by no means will I deal with the cities of Israel." He wasn't going to cause them to have protection at that time. Until, we know that that's such an important word, until the coming of the Son of Man. To be reminded of what the overseer brought about that Son of Man in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, "But he said, just as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." You see, there was no protection until the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I know of only two times in history that the people of Yahweh were saved, were given a place of safety, offered salvation. Noah in the ark, they were saved. And Israel in these last days, as in the days of Noah, the protected place. We went over the number 2022 in Isaiah 2:2, Micaiah 4:1. I want you to understand that the first time that that word shows up is in the days of Noah, where the mountain, where the ark landed, was the promotion of the house of Yahweh in Noah's day. Just as in these last days, the mountain and the promotion of the house of Yahweh is in the chief of the nations, spoken of in prophecy as in the days of Noah. The next gematria is, "The end is as in the day of Noah." And you see it's 1074. But when you add all those up, you get 28:17, and that's alluding to Genesis 28:17. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the kingdom of heaven, the gate, the kingdom of the house of Yahweh. Now I have the next imagery is Noah believed, trusted, and obeyed. And you see that number 1939 means superior in power and position, majesty of Yahweh. And in the Greek, it means a longing to set the heart upon. Now let's see when we put those same words in for Israel, except as not past tense, but present. Israel believes, our next gematria, Israel believes, trusts, and obey. Now just as for Noah, it meant power and position, here it means Yahweh has raised to a position of honor, just as in the days of Noah. And it also means a portable lamp, illuminator, a light, white, bright. Daniel 12:3, and it also went to Revelation 2:17. And yesterday it was brought out that Revelation 2:17, the stone of acquittal, was for the day of Pentecost, and Acts 2:17, the pouring out of the Spirit, which is sacred. But let's look at Genesis 2, 7:11, where also a 2:17 shows up. That was when the foundations of the heavens were opened, and the rain came. It was on 2:17. I'm not sure what all that means, but it's three times that 2:17 shows up. But Noah was told to go into the ark on the 10th day of the second moon, which to us is Abel. So I put in the 10th day of Abel. And when you see that, it's 8:28. Now realize and be wise and trust, believe, and obey Yahweh when the overseer says you must come to the house of Yahweh for safety. You must come before it starts, just like Noah had to go in there 7 days before it started. Don't be a fool. Believe all that the prophets have spoken and trust, believe, and obey into the one sent and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech this morning is I Know a Man. And I want to tell you about the man that I know. I met him 32 years ago, and he came to our tent. There were many tents on a small piece of land in Abilene, Texas, on TMP Lane. There weren't any fancy mobile homes or trailers there. There were just a bunch of tents. And he went tent to tent, and he introduced himself to everyone that came to the feast, because there was only a few people there. This was 32 years ago, and this man has slowly built a city. And now we see cheese houses, and we see meat places, and we see fast food restaurants, and we see all kinds of Hakahan services. This was all done with a lot of planning. I know a man. I'd like to show you a yematria, which is the title of my speech today. I know a man. I know a man. Now, this is the number 179 that came up, and in the Jewish, that was number 179. And remember, that means, that comes from the word that means Abel. It's 179, Obil, which means mournful, and it comes from number 56 in the Hebrew, and it actually means Abel. Where are we now? Abel, right? And in the Greek, 179 means permanent. Permanent. So I know a man who established a city in Abel that will be permanent. It will never end. Praise Yahweh. We have to realize that this man has put, because when I met him 32 years ago, he was already doing this for a lot of years, because there's people that say, well, I've known him for 42 years. Yes, because he was doing this long before I came. He was the first one here doing this, and he never grows weary of doing this job. Some of us say, wow, you know, it just gets very tiring doing the day-to-day grind every day. This man has been doing this ever since the house of Yahweh was established. And he does it so well. Does he not? So now you can say, you know a man. N-O-A-H. What moon are we in right now? Noah. And there's a lot of talk right now about Noah. So I want to talk about this Noah, the man that we know. And he's exposing a sick, sick, sick system, right? So I put that in the Yematria last night, a sick, sick, exposing a sick, sick, sick system. And the numbers that came up were 337, 1613, and 2022. Now, before I get into any of the definitions of the numbers here, I want to show you that middle number. You have one man standing on the 613 laws at the 2022, which is the great mountain of Yahweh, exposing this sick, sick, sick system, right? Micaiah 4:1 and Isaiah 2:2 should come to mind immediately when we see that 2022. Now we're going to go through the numbers. In the Hebrew, number 337 is the shortened form of Hebrew 188, and it means alas and woe. And that same number came up yesterday, remember? And this house, this man, this Noah, is exposing these plagues that are causing these woes, right? Now that 1613 in the Hebrew is to house in, a kind of tree or wood as used for building. Apparently the cypress gopher. Now what was the ark made of? Hello, people. Do we see how awesome Yahweh is? I know a man. I know a man. And then that last number, 2022, and we know that in the Hebrew that means mountain, the promotion, the uplifted house of Yahweh. So now that we know that, we know a man, what manner of person ought we to be? How should we conduct ourselves? What should our works be in this great ark that's being built, these people that are being gathered? Do we realize how special we are? You know where you came from, and you know what you were doing before Yahweh called you here. Our great overseer has been working this out so that we'll have a place to come, and he worked very, very, very hard to get the message out to us so that we would be plucked out. You know, we think we just stumbled here. No, this was a thought-out plan, just like this city. Think about this. How special you are in Yahweh's eyes. Why? Why are we so special? Because we were sick, sick, sick people. Raised in a sick, sick, sick system. But Yahweh called a man. I know a man. And he prepared a place for Yahweh's people. Right? Praise Yahweh. So we have to get rid of all sin. In 1 Yochanan 3, verses 10 and 12, 1 Yochanan 3, verses 10 and 12, it says, and in this, the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. That means they're made clear. Whoever does not practice righteousness, practice righteousness, practice righteousness. That means not keeping it parked in your driveway, that big fancy truck that he's going to give us. The laws of Yahweh, hauling that butter and honey, that milk and honey, don't keep it parked in the driveway. Practice this righteousness. They are not of Yahweh if they do not do this, and they do not love their brother. And then verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So if we're not practicing righteousness, who do we belong to? That wicked one. Romans 6:16, remember that? That wicked one. Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now, here's what you've got to know in this time period, people. The people of Yahweh, you special treasure. The people who are committing sin, and they might even be here at the feast, Pastor says, not everyone is converted. They will speak against those who are practicing righteousness. Why? Because we expose the evil. The ones that are practicing righteousness show that it can be done. And that really puts a big damper on the, you can't keep those old laws, right? We're keeping the laws of Yahweh here at the great city, aren't we? So if you run into one of these, whether they be on the internet, maybe they've already fallen away. Maybe they're trying to lure you to a website on how to bring the house of Yahweh down in these last days. This ark will float. And you are on the right boat, okay? Yahweh inspires our great teacher. I want you to read Psalm 50 today. In Psalm 50, Yahweh says, you know, you consented with an adulterer. You agreed with a thief. And then in verse 21, I believe it is, Yahweh says, you thought I was just like you. You thought I was just going to say, it's okay to sin. But Yahweh says, no, I'm going to accuse you to your face. Okay? And how does he do that? Well, he's going to do it in a few minutes with our great overseer because he teaches. He teaches and exposes the sins and brings us to perfection. And we either then confess and walk in Yahweh's way, or we're going to be drowning while that boat's afloating. Okay? In Jacob 2, verse 18, it says, yes, a man might say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay? So I put in the Yamatria for the last Yamatria here. Show me your faith by your works. Look at that middle number there. 4199. Israel Hawkins, that one man that's standing with the 613 laws, is saying to the 4199 religions, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. You show me. They don't have any faith and they have no works. Faith without works is dead, a dead religion. That word, the numbers that came up were 398, and in the Hebrew that means to burn up, consume, devour. And in the number 4199, in the Greek, it means to ravage, destroy, waste. And that word, that number 2388 in the Greek, it says compare it to the Hebrew 3238, to rage, to be violent, destroy, thrust out, and oppress. And that's exactly what this system does, those 4199 religions. So you can be one who stands with the 613. At the 2022, get yourself in this ark. It took a lot of planning. Now, we've got animals, we got people, and we got food. All we're waiting for is you. Praise Yahweh. And if you'll please stand and get ready for the great priest in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Now, the ark is here. You're in the ark, right? The lifesaver is here. So we don't have to drown. The salvation is here at Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh. At this time, to continue on, we get to hear from the great deacon, Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. We have a really great search today. The title of this search is Yahweh Shema, and that's what I put in the code search. And it came up, and some of the things that came up are incredibly beautiful and very uplifting. So the letter skip was 500 letters between each letter of the search. So let's get right into it, and this is some encouragement from Father Yahweh for all of you and something that you all have forward to look forward to in the kingdom when it's established. So we have Yahweh Shema right here. And a lot of the stuff Pastor has brought out to us, we have, right here we have, at the base, is atmosphere. We have the word atmosphere, number two. Now this next one, I had to go to some of our brothers from the congregation of the House of Yahweh in Africa because the word baobab came up, and I didn't know what it was, and so I Googled it. And let me show you here. Let me see if I can do this. Okay. That is a baobab tree. Okay? And let me see if I can get this other one. That one there is 1,200 years old. Okay? So the fruit is amazingly healthy. Okay? The fruit is amazingly healthy. And you can eat the leaves, The trunk holds enormous amounts of water, and at time of drought they go, and that's where they get waters from the tree. So it's a very beneficial tree. And so I thought, wow, baobab, I wonder what that means. So I Googled it, and it means tree of life. And I was like, man, Yahweh, you can't get any better than that. Tree of life. Amazing. I mean, that was amazing. So let's go back to the search here. This next word, okay, we got some more of them $4 words that I only have $2.50 to pay for. Let's see. Right here. Okay, where was baobab? Let me show you that. Baobab was right there. That was baobab. Okay. Right here we have capacious, capacious. And that means lots of space, roomy. There's lots of space, and it's very roomy in Yahweh Shema. It's kind of a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek humor there. Okay, then of course we have malakim, and there'll be many malakim in Yahweh Shema. Okay. Then we have end of days. End of days when we'll start learning from our teacher, Yisrael Hawkins in the house of Yahweh, what Yahweh Shema is and what it represents and what we have to look forward to. End of days. Then right here, connected to or crossing atmosphere is maintained. Maintained atmosphere. So that came up, crossing atmosphere, which is right here. And we have maintained. All right. Then we have loving, crossing atmosphere, a very loving atmosphere and a loving demeanor amongst the saints of Yahweh and the people of Yahweh, very caring. Okay. Right here we have snow-capped mountains. Snow-capped mountains, just like Pastor's dream. You remember the dream he had? It's on one of the songs, I believe. I believe it was the 21 years CD and tape in 99. There's a song in there where he talks about a dream he had about snow-capped mountains and flowing rivers and the beauty of Yahweh Shema. If you're able to and you have it, go back and listen to that dream. It's amazing, amazing dream. Okay, so back to the code. Of course, right here we have Dabar Yahweh, laws of Yahweh, laws of Yahweh. And number 13, Yisrael, Yisrael's name, number 13, okay. Next one we have family, family, okay, we have family. And this next one's really kind of neat, I thought. Of course, we know that, farmer or farming, and it crosses maintained also. It's connected to maintained, which crosses atmosphere. But farming or farmer, which is going to be maintained by the priests of Yahweh. Then right here, we have fullness. Fullness, and that connects to family. The families will be to the fullest extent of beauty, glory, and honor to Yahweh, and fulfilling family lives. Okay, so we have that one there. This next one I thought was a pastor. I told him, and, you know, he got very quiet, but we have Yaakov JG. Yaakov JG. Now, there's something else connected to that, which we'll come to. Yaakov JG. And up here, crossing family. We have for Yahweh, a family for Yahweh, which is something he has wanted for who knows how long, millions of years, trillions of years, gazillions of years, as the children say. Okay? So we have for Yahweh, a family for Yahweh. We have kingdom. Kingdom down here. Okay? Mountain of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh will be there. Pure water and clean air, the house of Yahweh will be there. Okay, so we have house of Yahweh right there. Our mountain of Yahweh. 22, we have rebuilding, which is something we're going to do. We're going to be rebuilding the waste places and make this earth beautiful, and as well as all the universe, a beautiful place for people to live. Okay, the last one down here, which connects to Jacob and JG, and it's Voice of Yahweh. Voice of Yahweh. So what's going to take place is this displays the fact, the beautiful fact, that the witness Jacob is going to be a voice of Yahweh alongside his brother, the witness Israel. And they'll be ministering and teaching again like they did when they started the house of Yahweh. The witness Jacob is and going to be a voice of Yahweh with his brother, the great witness Israel. And that's in the soon coming kingdom. Other words that came up, amazement, choir or choirs. We know the choirs are going to be amazing. Completeness, Abel, city of peace, Yada. Now, I went to the priest, I went to my supervisor, and we discussed it. Now, remember, Yada is going to repent. Yada will turn back to Yahweh. Faithful forests or forestry, beautiful forests. Our future, joy, Levites, luxurious, priests, Temple Mount. Now this next one, spaceship followed by panic. Now remember when the people of the earth, the clouds are parted, or when they first see Yahweh Shema, they're not going to know what it is. And that's what they'll probably think it is, a spaceship, and they'll panic. That God word. Okay? Then we have Yasam, Revelation, and the year 2021. And with that, Yahweh bless your Sabbath day. Real wonderful. Remember, it's going to be really tough on all of us. Build one another up. Care for one another. We need it now more than ever to help us get through. Pray for each other. And don't forget to pray for our great teacher, Israel Hawkins. So with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, the great Khan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Yahweh's peace be with everyone. Please be seated. Take this mask off. Okay, can you put up the title slide, please? We're going to be talking about another family here. We're going to be talking about that world order that was from the beginning that Yahshua talked about in Yochanan 14:30. You can see that's their family building there that they're building. And we're going to learn about that number at the bottom of that pyramid so you can completely understand, at least get a great idea what that number 1776 in Roman numerals is actually talking about. Okay? So let's go to the next slide. Now, this family, you know, remember in 1 Samuel 8:8, you know, when they chose the kings, they chose the way of war, you know, Yahweh said, you know, listen to them, Samuel, because this is what they've done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt. They turned back to God worship in their hearts. They never left Egypt. Remember, they were delivered out of Egypt, but never came out of Egypt, okay? Pastors explained that to us. And that first number, 296, and I brought them out of Egypt, means my brother has arisen. Well, you're going to find out what that means because it's talking about this new world order or this continuation of a new world order that's been from the beginning. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. It's that world order from the beginning. That number 1776, it's the number at the base of that Egyptian pyramid on the Great Seal of the United States. And we're going to learn about that great seal because it's talking about the ones that sealed up the books that kept them from the saints. Also, that 1577, third number, it means weaned in the Hebrew. Yes, these are the ones that weren't weaned from the milk and drawn from Mother Mary. Okay, these are the ones that worship Mary. Okay, not like Hannah, who turned her son over to the priest of Yahweh. 1577 in Greek means an assembly, a religious congregation, the church. And yes, I use church because it's used in Acts 7:38, and it's that congregation, that body that came out of Egypt that opposed Moshe. Okay? When you add up those numbers, you get 3649, and it means a priest in idol worship, God worship, idolatrous priests. From 3648, to be or grow hot. Remember, Pastor said he needs to explain about that growing hot. To be black. No, they weren't black people, folks. Has nothing to do with race or color. It's talking about Egypt or Kemet, which Egypt is also known as, or black land, which is talking about sin and darkness. Okay, it's not talking about a skin color. Let's go to the next slide. In the 17th book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 58, Pastor says, what they're really saying is exactly what Revelation 13 tells you that the United States would be saying at this time. Let us be like the first beast. That is the fourth beast of Revelation, which came from the first beast, which is shown in Genesis 10 with Cush and his sons. Remember, that's where it started after the flood. It began with Cain, remember, but it continued. It's a continuation of a world order, okay, that began after the flood with Cush and his sons. Remember the Nimrod system, the rebellious system. Let's go to the next slide that Yahshua talked about right here in Yochanan 14:30, just before his arrest, where he said, after this, I will not talk much with you, for the evil, beastly governmental system, that world order that was from the beginning, is coming. It's coming. And it has nothing to do with me. And we better have nothing to do with it. Okay? Because this stone, this pyramid, this family, this house, this great house of Pharaoh is here to test us. Okay? Keep that in your mind. Remember, evil, beastly governmental system, 2274 in Gematria, which is the number of Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, that world order, okay? And 2274, by the way, this is from the footnote. I'm going to read that here in a minute, but 2274 means association, company, a band, a society, like a secret society, a company of bad priests that perform Babylonian magic, or what they call Chaldean, keep that word in your mind. Chaldean, it'll be for another time. Has nothing to do with area. Okay, now, the footnote in Yochanan 14:30 says, correctly translated, this means the kingdom of evil, evil, beastly governmental system that Yahshua was talking about, this world order. Let's go to the next slide. Remember, New World Order, 2218. 2218 is when Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. Remember this, look to the side there, and the right, side note D, New World Order, Tower of Strength, okay? Or Tower of Force, tyranny, okay? Rule by force. Now notice the numbers at the bottom of the Roman numerals at the bottom of the pyramid, when you put it in Gematria and you put in Tower in Genesis, you see that number 1776 again. Okay, because 1776 was not a new number. Contrary to popular opinion, had nothing to do with the birth of the United States other than what you're getting ready to see. Okay, it was way before. So 296, remember, my brother has arisen, or this new world order has arisen, the one from the beginning. And that last number, 2799, means a carving, skillful working, all together. Remember, the whole world is involved. Okay, they plow together. Now it's concealed. It means to conceal, to fabricate, to devise in a bad sense from the idea of secrecy. Okay, to be silent, to practice secretly, worker. Remember this, the Masons, they call themselves workers. The Catholics, they call themselves workers. They're doing a great work of building this family of Jupiter, this house of Pharaoh. Remember that word house. Let's go to the next slide. Pastor says in the 19th book of Israel, chapter 3, verse 23, it says, here in this Revelation 13, it shows the gathering between the two beasts, the beasts that they have now. Revelation 13, 11, 18 through 18 is saying, let us be in the image, let us make ourselves in the image of the first beast, which had this deadly wound but was healed. Now it's leader of all the world. This is Revelation 13, 11 through 18. That's what the world is doing. That's what 4,198 religions are doing. They are saying, let us be like the first beast. Now notice the footnote of Yochanan 14:30, the kingdom of evil, evil, beastly governmental system. When you put it in your matria, lo and behold, what does it say? 4,198, the number pastor just gave you in that verse. The 4,198 religions that are following this beastly system, the 4,199th, okay? You can do a little shuffling around of those words there and add an A there, and you'll get 4,199 as well. Let's go to the next slide. This great pyramid in Egypt that they put on this their logo there, you notice it's a double 1398, so that tells you better pay close attention. 1398 means mighty. It means men and everyone, mighty, to be strong, to prevail, to act proudly against Yahweh. 1398 in Greek means a slave, literal or figurative, bring into bondage, serving, whether voluntarily or involuntarily. Okay, all right, to get that in your mind. Slaves and enslaved, both men and women, prisoners, put in chains. Okay, remember, it's a bondage to sin, a bondage of sin, okay, is what this is talking about, okay, that the whole world is involved in. Okay, 2796, when you add up 1398 twice, you get 2796, and it means masons, craftsmen, stonemasons, you know, the ones that built these pyramids. Altogether, plow, to conceal and fabricate, to devise in a bad sense from the idea of a secrecy, hold tongue and worker. Okay, so keep those in your mind. Let's go to the next slide because we're going to get a little more deeper because it's also called the Great Pyramid of Giza. Okay, now notice you get 234 in Greek, which means pollution and defilement. 1404 in Hebrew means lady, queen, and mistress. That's talking about Lilith or Hillel, who's over this system. From 1376, it means lord and ruler, to be strong, to prevail, mighty, to act proudly against Yahweh. 1404 in Greek means a dragon, a great serpent, the devil, a seeing one, figuratively Satan, exercising subtle, indirect impact on heathen governments or powers. In other words, working behind the scenes, leading the governments of the earth. We'll see that here in a minute, too. The next number, 1463 in Hebrew, is the word Gog. And if you look in the mark of the beast, the word Gog means Satan, the devil. 1463 in Greek means to engirdle oneself for labor. In other words, to do a work. Figuratively, the apron as being a badge of servitude. Notice, we're not the only ones that wear aprons, right? So do the Masons. You see that Mason, that apron on George Washington with the all-seeing eye? That's the family, the house that's being built, okay? And these are the builders. No, not just the Freemasons. They're all Catholics, okay? Let's go to the next slide. When you put in 1,776 on the base of the pyramid, you notice you get a 666, which is the mark of Cain and his followers, the mark of Cush and Nimrod, you know, the Nimrod system, the mark of the beast. 3996 is the second number. It means a coming in. Now follow this because it's showing what took place in America and everywhere else they chased people, this Nimrod system. Watch this. It means a coming in, followed, associate, traversing, you know, like traveling around, arrive, to come in, entered, threatened, besieged, came and invaded, devoured, harbor, migration. Okay, notice they followed some people over here that tried to escape this system. Okay, remember that. And it's from 8121, and it means house of the sun. House of the sun god, Baal. Okay, it's talking about this system, this world order from the beginning. The third number, 4562, means a band, put in bonds. And then 4562 in Greek means to be intertwined, knit together, wrapped together wreath. You know that wreath, like that crown? Remember the seven crowns? Okay, that corona? Okay, that's going to all tie into this. Won't get it all today, but let's go to the next slide. When you put in all those meanings I just gave you, just the way they are, you get 4903, which means to work together. First, it means lodge in the Hebrew, lodge. You know, like a Masonic lodge, like that Vatican you see right there? That's a lodge. That's where the main culprits exist, on the seven hills. 4903 in the Greek means to work together, helps in the work. Fellow workers, associates, co-laborers, coadjutors. That's what they call Jesuits. Did you know that? If you look up the word coadjutor, Jesuits is always associated with that word. 2491 is the 41. 2441 means intelligence. Okay, yes, they have a great intelligence service, but you know something else? They're very intelligent in a worldly way. These are not dumb men, okay? These are very, very, very intelligent in a worldly sense people. And notice 2941 in Greek means steering government. Steering government. In other words, they're the ones in control of the governments. They're leading the governments of this earth. You know, it's kind of like in Washington, D.C., how they have a steering committee. You ever heard of a steering committee, you know, that steers the government the way they want it to go, makes the laws? And it means administration, pilotage, figurative of directorship in the government. 2926 means to cover or to cover over. And 2926 means a hidden place, secret, to hide and conceal, hidden and secret. Remember, it's a secret. Remember the Pharisees? They were the separatists. They don't want anyone knowing what they're up to. Of course, Yahweh knows what they're up to, right? Let's go to the next slide. And let's look at that Roman numeral there on that pyramid, the MDCCLXXVI, which is 1776. It means in 114, it means it's the word Adon, means powerful. It's a place in Babylon, it says. Lord, masters, controllers, human or divine, it says. 114 in Greek means to do away with what has been laid down, to set aside, to annul, to make of no effect. This is talking about the laws of Yahweh that they threw away, okay? That they want us to throw away. Are we going to throw it away? No. Refuse to respect, to reject, to remove out of an appointed place, to abrogate, to nullify, to reject and cast off, to bring to nothing. Remember Yahweh says, don't take my name to bring it to nothing? Well, that's what they did. Of course, Yahweh took his name out of their mouth, okay? That's what took place. 684, the next number, means strength, and in the Greek it means eternal ruin, perdition, ruin or loss, physical, spiritual, or eternal, damnation, die, to destroy, dying, lost, killed, loses, perishes, put to death, be blotted out, to vanish away, die, mar, by one's conduct to cause another to lose eternal salvation. Remember, that's their job, is to cause us to lose our eternal salvation. We better be very, 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 very careful to follow everything Israel Hawkins tells us, right? Let's go to the next slide, because the third number, 1369, gives us a little more. 1369 in Hebrew means strength, force, and mastery, victory, heroes, mighty warriors, valiant warriors, one who magnifies himself and behaves proudly, a tyrant. Giant. Remember, there were giants in the earth in those days. Not big old giants that were 10 feet tall. These men here, they were from the beginning, the gods. They called themselves gods, the rabbis. Okay, it says to act insolently. Remember, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Those are the ones that Yahshua were warning us about that were coming. It means to be hostile, to separate and alienate. And then it means twice, again, two. Okay, now watch this. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar here. The word Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, means Nebo will protect the district. What district? Yeah, the District of Columbia. But you'll find out more about that. I don't have that time for that today. Nebuchadnezzar, first number 148 means a chief diviner. Second number 148 in Greek means filthy communication, filthy speech, foul language, talking about not speaking according to Yahweh's way, but speaking words of worthlessness. 888 means to be offensive morally, smell bad, stink, to be odious. 888 in the Greek means useless, useless, unprofitable, worthless. 1389, third number, means a hill. And it's from 1375, house. It's a house that we're talking about here, a house of bondage to sin. 1389 in Greek means to ensnare. Here's what they're trying to do to us right here. To ensnare, to handle deceitfully. Remember, they handle the word of Yahweh deceitfully. Corrupt, craft, deceit, guile, treachery, subtlety, wile, bait. Yes, they try to bait. They try to set traps. It means to allure, to beguile, to entice, to entrap, delude, and deceive. Look at that. That's in the word Nebuchadnezzar. But remember, it said twice, two, two. So let's double Nebuchadnezzar. Go to the next slide, please. Let's double Nebuchadnezzar. 1776. You see that? Let's double Nebuchadnezzar. Because Babylon's still here, isn't it? It's the world order from the beginning. Remember, my brother has arisen, 296. 1776, that number at the base of that Egyptian pyramid. 2778, the third number, means blaspheme, defy, to reproach and upbraid. From 2778, now get this and remember this. I'm not going to go into it now. It means the crop gathered, youth. Youth. Remember that word, youth, because they're using certain tools to gather the youth to the Vatican, okay? We'll get to that later. One of them was together 2016 when they were dancing around the Maypole. Y'all remember that? That was prophesied. Now let's add up all those numbers. It gets 4850. It's the word marathium in Hebrew, and it means double rebellion. Remember two, double rebellion. Go to the next slide, please. Double rebellion. For the evil, beastly governmental system, that world order that was from the beginning, is coming. The first number, 979, is page 979 that Yahshua was telling us about. You see how inspired that man was? In your book of Yahweh, where it talks about the two beasts, the one from the sea and the one from the earth, in these last days. The second number, 5874, means dwelling, age old, posterity. They've been from the beginning. And it also means to move in a circle. We'll get into that later, too, because it goes into this obelisk they all like to dance around there in Washington, D.C. and other places. And 6752 is from 6751. It means to be or grow dark, an image, likeness, especially an idol of the beast. Remember, let us be like the first beast. Well, who? Go to the next slide. It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. You know that scripture. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was similar to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Put that in your matria, add up those three numbers, you get 7315. It's the word on high. On high, talking about Jupiter. But notice the phonetic spelling. It's pronounced Rome. Rome. It's talking about Rome. But the last slide, United States of America, notice. United States of America, that number 929 in Jewish means beast. Beast. It's another beast, right? I'm going to leave it off for there. We'll pick up another time. I got to go. But Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'd all please stand. Remember, be very careful. You don't have anything to worry about if you follow Israel Hawkins, but we got to follow every word that man says, okay? At this time, I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. One quick correction on scripture today. Really did tie into a lot of the things that were said. It's on page 153 in your book of Yahweh. It's Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. It's up in the kind of the right-hand corner of page 153 there. It's the third verse down. It reads, Yahweh will take away from you all sickness. He will not afflict you with any of the diseases you knew in Egypt, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Yeah, it makes it look like he can't wait to hit someone and work them over, let them have a bad disease and let them die and all that other business. There's been some grammatical mistakes. They messed with the pronouns because these he, they, them, you, me, all of those pronouns. They're not names, they're just pronouns. In other words, they try to refer to whatever somebody wants to refer to. But what this scripture actually says when it's grammatically corrected is, Yahweh will take away from you all sickness. This world is sick, sick, sick. I agree. No question. But Yahweh will take this away from all of us. You will not be afflicted with any of the diseases you knew in Egypt or this world, but they will afflict all those who hate you. In other words, you don't want to serve Yahweh, and that's really nice and swell. Well, you're going to wish you had, because a lot of people are going to pay the price, and I don't mean it's vengeance. In other words, through science, the understanding of medicine, the way Yahweh teaches through his plan, they're going to end up having to endure these deadly diseases that they would have missed if they had kept the laws and kept the food laws and all those things. Yahweh bless your understanding, and we'll turn the services over to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Now, of course, here as we finish up this great Feast of Pentecost and into this great Sabbath day that we're having here, we look to what's going on in this world. And, of course, we know that America is reopening, and you see that in the news, where the United States is looking to reopen the economy, kickstart the economy is what they're saying, and they're looking to move forward to get the economy back on track. And, of course, President Trump is saying vaccine or no vaccine, it's going to start again. They're going to reopen this so Americans can move forward is what they're saying. But while this same thing is taking place, there's rioting that is spreading not just in Minneapolis, but it's literally spreading across the face of the United States. And this is taking place in cities where they haven't been collecting taxes, so they're under a financial burden as it is. And they're suffering. In fact, this is a quote from the governor of Minnesota, and it was this morning. And he said, once again, fully mobilizing the National Guard after overnight protest, he said that no longer were these protests about the death of George Floyd, rather an attack on a civil society by people who were not from the community. It goes on to give a quote saying, the situation in Minnesota is no longer in any way about the murder of George Floyd. It is about the attack on a civil society instilling, notice, fear and disrupting our great city. Of course, it's continual war. It's the way of Cain. If you're not familiar with that, if you're watching and not sure, go back and read the third Roman month prophetic word. Pastor does a great job in explaining these two trees and exactly how one brings pain, it brings harm, it brings, you know, sadness, it brings murder, and the other tree brings peace, it brings life. Well, this system, we don't see any peace taking place in it. And then, of course, we have this coming out this morning. I'll show you here. Of course, it says that the Pentagon orders active duty police units to ready to deploy to Minneapolis. Now, the Pentagon is actually pulling soldiers from Fort Bragg and also from Fort Drum in New York, Fort Bragg in North Carolina and Fort Drum in New York. So they're actually getting ready to send the military into this city. Yes, the military, and it's done under the law of the insurrection of 1807. Insurrection meaning rebellion, and of course it's where the United States government has the authority to send in their armed forces to control rebellion, so to speak. And that's what is taking place right now. But as you'll see in the news, They're rioting all over the place, in Atlanta, in Columbia, Ohio, in Los Angeles, California. They're looting the stores, busting the windows, going in and stealing things. And you'll see one man crying, saying, I spent my whole life trying to build this business. I thought I could make it after the coronavirus, but now it's all gone. They're breaking in. They're stealing everything. What am I going to do? And you'll hear people screaming out, we're tired of this fighting. We're tired of this. They're actually screaming for this peaceful solution, for this body right here. They're actually screaming for, we want people to show us a better way. And that's what's taking place. And something to show you what's going on here, and it's very important that everybody sees. Now, this was reported, and you'll see it says the coronavirus started spreading in the U.S. in the first Roman month. And that was reported by the CDC. Now, it goes on to say here, if you can enlarge that so I don't mess it up. It says there was no indication the virus had been introduced in the United States earlier in the 11th or 12th Roman month. We looked for evidence. These are scientists and doctors speaking here. We looked for evidence of earlier widespread transmission and could not confirm it, specifically speaking of the United States. And that's Dr. Jay Butler, and he's the Deputy Director of Infectious Disease at the CDC. But if you'll notice here, it says health officials announced the first coronavirus case in the United States 4 months ago in the first Roman month on the 21st day. So everybody get one hand up, okay? We can count the three. I know we can count the five. So if we wanted to count 5 months, we would go, the first full month we would count would be 221. That's the second Roman month, 21st day. That's one full month, right? Okay, third 21, 321, 421, 521, and to get to five full months, we need to go to 621, right? That will give us five full months. Note, Trump administration extends border closure to Canada and Mexico until when? 622, 5 months and 1 day, and they're opening the borders back up for non-essential travel to start coming in. I would advise everyone, when these gates are open, flee to the mountain, because they can close very quickly. Flee to the mountain with all possibility, because you're also going to see the United States building up tension for China, and they start with Hong Kong. Remember, Hong Kong used to be a territorial area ruled by the UK, and it was colonized, and they made an agreement to let China slowly implement Hong Kong back in. It was supposed to be a 50-year agreement, and in 2047, China will take back over. The United States says China is trying to take back too fast, and they're not slowing down. So now there's a huge dispute where they're saying, being China, that America is causing protests over in Hong Kong. And then you have President Trump coming out now saying, due to the Wuhan virus, and that's the term being used by the American government, the Wuhan virus, that they're going to start sanctioning the Chinese leaders. You see a lot of tension building up. Remember everything about the South China Sea, all the oil in the South China Sea. Remember how the United States has supplied Taiwan with weapons and China's stance on Taiwan. There's a speech that President Trump gives where he's really showing the frustration with China, but he also shows where the United States is pulling $450 million away from the World Health Organization because they say that they're ran by China, that China's persuading them. Now, of course, a lot of this is political, but watch the tension that's heating up. Because of all the businesses that were failing during this coronavirus lockdown, there's one business that soared, and that was the sale of military weapons. It did not slow down, but it's continually building. And with all of these things coming together, realize that when you go back out into this world, you're literally going into a hell on earth that no one can control outside of the laws of Yahweh and what's going to be brought to it. It is literally a world that is dying. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, everyone. You can get louder than that now. You can get louder than that. Yahweh bless you. You can be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Be welcome home again. And The next time around, you might just want to stay. And find all of my notes here. Don't forget the water, by the way. If you didn't hear that yesterday morning, I hate to say too much about it. There is water, safe water. You got to know where it is, got to find it, got to seek it. I felt so sorry for Trump today, this speech. I see what the man's going through. He's the leader of the United States and right now, and he's wanting to solve the problems. They're unsolvable. The more he tries, the worse they get, and the more they're created, the more they multiply. And they try to solve one, and others come into play that they can't deal with. No way. But it's all going to change. The quartet is going to change, by the way, too. That's shown in Revelations. That's a few that are left of the quartet. Article here says America should be ready for 18 months of shutdowns and long, hard road. America should be ready for shutdowns, 18 months of shutdowns and long, hard road ahead, warns the federal need Kirchkirchy. He says this could be a long, hard road that we have ahead of us until we get either an effective therapy or a vaccine. is, I guess, hopeful to a lot of people. It's not going to be. The prophecies are 100% correct. There's no way of solving any of this right now. No way you could solve it instantly. It's going to take a complete turnover and start again. But the way it's being led now is the way that Cain started it going 6,000 years ago, and the curses he brought on himself, he says they're unbearable. Well, that's what they're saying now about these curses that we're suffering. The curses, the plagues that Yahweh said, follow me, do what I tell you to do exactly, don't turn from it, and I will take the sickness away from you. I'll take all sickness away from you that you've known in Egypt. Well, of course, that's where it all came from, was Cain. Cain was Egyptian. He is Coptic Catholic. He is a God worshiper, which means Coptic Catholic. And, of course, he taught the 12 tribes of Israel. Not personally, but he taught them. His genes came down through Noah, by the way, through Noah. And you find that in the Gematria, too. And his genes coming down through Noah. And, of course, Noah's descendants, they started the God worship again and rebellion. God worship is a rebellion against Yahweh's laws. They have their own laws, their own religions, so they They refused Yahweh's religion of righteousness so they could build armies and overpower those. And that's what they call it, power. I keep thinking of that scripture in Isaiah 44 that the witnesses bring forth, that there is no power. There's no power except Yahweh. They try to create powers, as we see in Samuel. Samuel, the 7th chapter, shows the same thing that Cain was saying in Genesis 4. This is overbearing. There's no way to solve it. You've given me an impossible task here, and I don't know how to get out of it. I'm cursed from the earth. I'm cursed from my activities. And of course, he is blaming Yahweh like the God worshipers blame Yahweh. And like the great Kohen Yehuda brought out this morning in Scripture, they know this. They know the Scriptures were, many of them were deliberately mistranslated to pretend that Yahweh brings these curses upon you if you don't walk the line. Well, of course he doesn't. He tells you, he warns you, if you do this, you're going to bring this on yourself. If you don't follow these laws, son, if you run that stop sign in your new truck, pulling all that milk and honey, and some other idiot is coming from the other way, some other idiot is coming from the other way, you could lose all your milk and honey plus your big truck that I gave you. I did give that to you already, right? Or no? I thought I did. This could be a long, hard road, he says. And it's going to be. It's not going to end anyway soon. Even after the 2 years, we've got 2 years left of the last 3.5 years, or about 2 years left, that 3.5 years. And, of course, then comes the nuclear. That's what stops the war and fighting. They're going to kill themselves. It's a mass suicide that is going to take place. And that comes, of course, with the 7th plague, or curse, pronounced by Cain in the 4th chapter of Genesis. This whole book of Yahweh deals with the last, with the finishing touches of the kingdom of Yahweh, which will stop war. They will stop war. That it will be taught the history that mankind is going through right now. It's all being recorded for us. It's all being written. It is written, and it's going to remain written for us. We're going to use this history that we've lived through the last generation of it. We're going to use it to teach the following generations, which will be many, but they won't have, a couple of the things they're not going to have after this nuclear burning, great nuclear burning. The Nimrod School of Higher Learning that's been planted throughout the world, including the United States, that actually turned the people from Yahweh and set up laws. Yahweh said, remember my Sabbaths to keep them holy. They are my mark or sign upon you that you belong to me. The mark of Cain was different. The mark of Cain was, as shown, rebellion, curses brought by sin, and wars and fighting, continual war, continual fighting. That's the mark of Cain, still is. And it's getting worse. Sickness and disease. Well, you have these marks upon Yahweh's people. You don't have many Yahweh's people right now. But to explain something about that, we have a few that's going to be left. And that few, of course, is a big number because the total of population is a big number. I couldn't get it in my mind. I have it here, but it's too big for me to comprehend. But we have a big population right now, and 2 billion is going to be left alive. 2 billion. Well, that seems like a lot of people. But compared with the population right now, you probably won't be able to find a man every half a mile or even 10 miles. It'd be more like scary as the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma, where the people all moved out. They'd lost everything they had, and desperate for food and clothing, and so they moved to a worse location, much worse than Oklahoma, because Yahweh was using Oklahoma to keep people separated from sin. And that went on for years in my lifetime. And the people there all taught and read the Bible. They didn't just teach and read what the preacher brought either. They actually read their own Bibles. They didn't have televisions or entertainment like we have today, so they had time for reading the Bible. And sitting around after quitting time, as they called it, resting till time to go to bed, letting the house cool down with the doors open, no air conditioning, of course, unless the wind was blowing. So we would sit out on the porch sometimes until it got cool enough to where we could go in, light the lamp, and read the Bible. But out on the porch, we talked about the Bible. That was the main subject, was the chapters that are written, the things that are written in the Bible. It is written. And of course, it is written, Yahshua said, these things that are written. What did he say about that? Yahshua himself, Matthew 4:4. Keep that scripture in mind. Well, we got these things to live by. We got a promise from Yahweh. And if we don't do it, Yahweh says, you will bring curses on yourself. Well, Abraham's children went down into Egypt and taught from the schools that came from Cain. And, of course, Cush, who fathered the schooling system of Cush was named Nimrod, which means he rebelled. Well, what we're dealing with today in this time period is 6,000 years of growth of this system of rebellion against Yahweh and the curses it brings with it. They're unbearable. And yes, I do feel sorry for President Trump. You know, he wants to help his people, but the answers are few. His enemies are many. And while he's trying to help, his enemies are coming at him, he thinks, sneaking in around and so forth, and building organizations to bring him down. And he's the only one in his mind, that is, in his way of thinking, he's the only one that can help this situation. So he's taken what we have built up already, and that's his foundation. But this foundation brings forth war. And this is what we see here. We see the sickness, the disease, the plagues, the curses in this time period. It says, barring some health cure miracle, is looking at 18 months strategy of rolling shutdowns, rolling shutdowns based on what has happened in other countries. We could have these waves of flare-ups, controlled flare-ups and controlled and controls of flare-ups of the hatred, no jobs. There's a lot of flare-ups behind this first disease. And the curses you see in Deuteronomy that Yahweh says, the writings show you the blessings, and then it shows you the curses you will bring upon yourselves with God worship, by worshiping the gods like Cain, by being a Catholic like Roman Catholic God worship. We're a Roman Catholic God worship. That's what Roman Catholic is. They're not seeking laws, the Pope said. They're not seeking Yahweh's laws that shows them how to bring up a child in the way he should go. They bring up a child in the way that will bring that child to understand and want war. They even play the heroes. They make heroes out of the people. Back in my childhood, Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, probably never heard of them, but they were the heroes. They had white pearl handles on their guns. The others had black handles on their guns. What did that show you? Brother, this was when I was a child. You think the hatred went anywhere? You think any form of hatred has disappeared? That's more than a lifetime ago. And these movies that they depicted, you know, well, this guy is tough. He's the right one. He wears the white hat. All the crooks wore black hats in those movies. If you get a chance, watch one. Check me out. Well, he says, these waves are still here. The cause of these waves, think of ocean waves, each one bringing something else. If you remember Tyre, Yahweh used this with the Tyre and said, you're going to fall like this right here. Just like the waves, it's going to come at you one after another, and you're going to fall. Well, this is an unsinkable city, like Noah's Ark. it was undestructible. There was no way of fighting it. Had a city out in the water and a city on shore, Red Sea all over again. And they laid claim to it, and Yahweh says it won't be yours long. This is the way you're going to fall. We can have these waves of flare-ups, controls, flare-ups and controls until we actually get a therapy or a vaccine. Well, a therapy or a vaccine, how's that going to stop the hatred we see going on in Minneapolis right now? And even the Capitol. Shutting down the Capitol? It's like shutting down now Everybody depends on the power that man has in his forceful control, police force on up, police force, every kind of force, Air Force and so forth. But they depend on that. So they go in hoping to destroy, shut it all down, and then what would the world do? They're not led by Yahweh's laws. They're not led by their own conscience. They are actually governed, and they got in mind our police force is going to solve the problem. Our doctors are going to solve the problem. And the doctors are saying, don't come to the hospital. Call your doctor and go home. The doctors are sick too. Doctors are dying from this very thing. So are the police. It's all seeking peace, but never achieving it. Yahweh's got the only way to peace, and we won't follow it. Yes. We need to find ways of getting the people who are healthy, who are at lower risk, back to work. You know, man, this is horrible right here. You know, these people, if you think about what these people are going through right here, they've lost their houses. They've lost everything. They even lost their food supply in this situation. How do we get it back? What have we got to live for? Are we going to starve to death? If there's no food, how long can you live? These are all the thoughts that are going through their minds. So it's a miserable situation here that a vaccine wouldn't help any of it. That's like the straw that broke the camel's back. We need to find ways of getting the people back to work, lowering the risk, back to work, and then providing the assistance to those who are most at risk, who are going to need to be quarantined or isolated for the foreseeable future. Looking ahead, he said, doesn't envision a quick rebound for the U.S. economy, which has already endured more than 16 million job losses in the past 3 weeks. This could be a long, hard road that we have ahead of us until we get to either an effective therapy or a vaccine, he said. It's hard for me to see a V-shaped recovery under this scenario. Well, of course, it's hard for me to see it, too. I see just the opposite. The house of Yahweh is in what Yahweh described, or Yahshua, our Savior, described at this time, 2,000 years ago. And he painted us a picture there of the end and then the coming up to the end, then the entry into the kingdom of Yahweh for everyone left alive. They'll be gathered and they will be brought to the mountain, as Yahshua said, be brought to the mountain, and there they'll get their training finished. Now, I'm talking about the few left. And one of the prophets, Eliyah, he said, you have 400 prophets of Baal, but I'm here working by myself. I don't have any help. Yahweh said to him, I have more than this. There's so many over here that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Now, that doesn't say much, except they haven't been faithful, don't intend to swear to allegiance with Baal. That's what it means. But as far as being in the house of Yahweh and becoming to perfection, that was not their job. That doesn't take place until the last day. But in his time, with all these God worshipers, Yahweh had several people, a lot of people, which came against Jerusalem later, that is, their children that was brought up. They came against the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who were taking control, full control of Jerusalem and Israel. And of course, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, these were the heads of Israel who had built this strong army. They didn't build it in Israel, they built it in Rome. But they had it to where they could pull soldiers out and send them here and there. They could easily have pulled 800 National Guard and brought them to the White House. The travel would take a little longer than it does today, but it's the same system. And that's how they controlled the God worshipers, was by this strong army that they had, stronger than any other army. But now here is a Roman army that they're using to try to bring peace between people. They're trying to have a forced peace. Cain told them there's no way. This is not going to work. He told them that in the beginning. But they built it anyway. All the world has gone the way of Cain. That's in Yada 1:11. All the world has gone the way of Cain. Revelations 12:9 says the whole world is deceived. You go back to Genesis and you find that deception right there. From there it came down to Revelations, which was written 96 after Yeshua, 96 years after Yeshua, Revelations was written. It was in prison when it was written. So when Yochanan died in prison, they took Revelations. The Romans had it under control. They were taking the books of Yahweh out. They moved all of that to Rome in 70 A.Y. That's about 20 years, a little over 20 years. Afterwards was when the last book of Revelations was written to add to what they already had in Rome. They took it there, locked it up in prison with the rest of the book of Yahweh. Yeah, you're holding a bunch of jailbirds in your hand. That's got power that you wouldn't imagine. When you first start reading it, you think, there's no power in this book. but there's tremendous power, and that power is going into your heart and mind right now. And of course, you're learning to love Yahweh with all your heart. The more you read it, the more you study it, the more it grows inside your heart and your brain. So we've got this power here. You can't see it. It's not made with hands, but it's going in and it's making changes among the microorganisms in your heart and in your subconscious mind, in your conscious mind, making those changes. And you don't see so much of it coming until you look back in your past and you think, my, have I changed. And then that's when I see the commotion take place, and I think somebody won the lottery, or Or as I said yesterday, received that new truck I bought them that's full of honey and milk and honey. And I see the excitement there. I saw it this morning, several phone calls, and they kept saying over and over, this scripture, this scripture, this scripture. You'd be surprised how joyous one of those scriptures makes you once you get to that level where we are right now. We're still a ways. But anyway, the world now is not facing that. They're facing sickness and disease, which they see no answer to at all. They can't see any answer at all to what is taking place in the sickness microorganisms. And this man fully discloses that, and he says, I just can't see it ever taking place like this, under this scenario. Well, he goes on. He said, we could have these waves of flare-ups for a long, long time, many years, he said. Now, they won't have this same crowned virus. They will have details of it in the coming viruses after that. They'll have details of pieces and strips of it in the next six plagues. And the last one is going to have all the details of the first six. The seventh plague is going to have all the details. And you can trace them if you just do so. You can trace them from Genesis. All these little details that's going into this great burning that's going to take place, they're all coming and jumping into one trash can, into one house of God, into one house of the gods, of the many gods. And, of course, that house is going to be burned. That's what Revelation said. And it names the house, its location, what it teaches, what it's done to the world. Everything is given to you there in the end that is given in mourning in Genesis, the first chapter, the first four chapters. Well, he says, looking ahead, he doesn't envision a quick rebound for the U.S. economy. That's just one of the things, you know. We got wars, many wars ready to take place. Watch for them. We got a poisoned world that we see in prophecy now. And they don't know what to do. They see it coming. It's already on the news. And they don't know what to do, what to correct it, what will prevent it. It's worldwide. It's covering the air we breathe, too, but the worst of it's going into the earth. It's settling. It's settling like somebody poured a bucket out over the earth, and it's come down and spreading all over the earth. It's a sad picture that the world is facing, and they see it now. The economy, which has already endured more than 16 million job losses in the past 3 weeks. This could be a long, hard road that we have ahead of us until we get this effective therapy or vaccine, he said. It's hard for me to imagine a V-shaped recovery under this scenario. Well, the house of Yahweh, the book of Yahweh, it shows you where it started and what was going to bring it. Now, this was a warning. The warning is all I've got time for right here. I don't have time to bring you the warning. Going to in a, hopefully this afternoon. If you're available, Yahweh willing, I'll be available. And I'll meet with you here.
Praise Yahweh.
I think the meeting time is 6. That's tentatively scheduled. We'll change it, but I don't think we will. But if we do, we'll announce it. So you could listen to the radio. We have the station that goes 24 hours a day. You could listen to that if you got time, or a group of you might check the radio every once in a while, or call the sanctuary. Get too many calls. That eats up your Sabbath. It'd be better if you listened to the radio and find out that way. And we'll be announcing it one if we change it. I don't think we'll change it. 6 p.m., 6 to 7 p.m., Yahweh willing. And the serving of food will stop at that time, so everybody here can come in if they want to. And we're going to stay 6 feet apart. We're going to obey the law, but there's a certain things we can do, and we'll abide by it. And then don't forget the peaceful scene. We finally got up. That is Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins got up. Several more banners that's proceeding with the maze field that takes you through some of this history and kind of enforces it in your mind. And you can see the missiles if you look up kind of slightly like this and you're in that maze field, you'll see that missile behind you and the weapons of war. But you'll see, when you get to the end of this, you'll see the house of Yahweh. We still don't have it finished, but you could spend several hours studying what we put up since Passover. Just studying that part, and which backs up the prophecies and everything we've written. You'd be amazed. You're going to be amazed when you see it and read it and study it. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.